Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Welcome back to Fanboys and a Philly Casual. Back with you again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
And this is Harold.
We are going to be starting us off with a little bit of a poo-pourri. Yeah, notice how we didn't say how you are because, you know, we need to get to the good stuff today. So, Lewis, I heard that you and Harold had a little bit of poo-pourri. I have a little bit of poo-pourri as well, so it's going to be a three-way poo-pourri.
Jesus.
So is you pay a little extra for it. So
yeah, three-way poo is a lot, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so who gets to go first?
Go for it, because you made the bad joke already.
I did. Well, for my poo-pourri, little change in our family over here. Not change, but like, yeah, a little shift in sports over here. So I know we brought it up at the last pod that volleyball is going to be the next life. So, yeah, first high school boys volleyball game this past week. I got a couple of thoughts. Very interesting. It's definitely a change and shift from the usual basketball is life. It's a great game. I'm not going to lie. It's definitely not something that was on my radar before. I do support our god, you know, our nieces when they play volleyball, but just like most other things, the boys game is definitely a different speed, different pace. So I dug it. It's my son's first foray into it, at least in an organized way. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, dude. I mean, it's just like anything inside the gym. I thought it was a great experience. You know, the rules are definitely something I'm still getting used to. Thankfully my wife played in high school, and a mutual friend of Harold and I, his son also plays for the same high school team. So I was, hopefully I didn't bother him too much. Thank you again. You know who you are if you're listening. I appreciate you humoring me asking, like, wait, what's a double touch? Or why was that a whistle? And why are they jumping so much? So anyway, volleyball season began. Definitely a new sport. Very excited to see how this season pans out. And yeah, looking forward to a new sport to root for. And yeah, unfortunately, I did not mess up. I didn't yell offsides this time, but I did get to yell side out, which I guess is the right thing to yell. So proud of me on that one.
Yeah, that's the easiest one to say. Just keep on yelling side out, dude.
Yeah. I think that seems to be the winner. And everybody kept like putting their hands up, like out. It's like, oh yeah, all right, yeah. But yeah, it's actually surprising how often. I mean, yeah, from if you're watching volleyball on TV or anything like that, it's not. I get it's one of those sports like you don't really stop when you're scanning through the channels and like go out of your way and say I'm gonna watch this volleyball game. But when you're actually there, it gets exciting, especially on a close game. You know, the local high school team played against a pretty strong other public school, a private school team. So, you know, we weren't too word before the game was we weren't too optimistic about our chances, but yeah, the teams made a game out of it. So really proud of the boys and the coaches. And again, the first game, pretty excited to see where it goes from here though, dude.
Wow.
So yeah, that's my poo-pourri.
Pandering to some of our listeners. I like it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. If you like volleyball, this is your new podcast.
I'll go because I think Harold actually prepared for his poo-pourri. mine is, I guess, technically poo-pourri. I know that Lewis and I, for some reason during Christmas season, both were able to grab a copy of The Last Ronin by Kevin Eastman.
Oh, yes.
And you know, have you ever picked it up, H?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert. In the end, there's the hint that there was going to be new turtles, like a new generation of turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And what they and the poo-pourri is, they officially announced it, and it's the first comic book that I actually went to a comic book store and
Ooh.
Ordered. It is going to be, and it's the new iteration of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles post Ronin, and it actually looks pretty interesting. So it's actually going to be continuing this storyline. It's going to be keeping up. And one of the more interesting ideas that they had is, like when Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird originally came out with it, they came up with this. The turtles looked exactly the same, and the only way that they actually changed it up was like eventually when color came out, they actually like changed everybody's color because originally it was black and white, so they looked exactly the same unless you see what weapon they're working they're using. This time around, they actually have like four different types of turtles.
Oh.
Different breeds of turtles, and so from what they've been talking about, it's actually going to incorporate into their personalities and their demeanor and everything. So I'm pretty excited about it. First comic book I'm gonna buy in the longest time. So that's my potpourri for today.
Nice, dude. Is this like you just said, this is the first comic book you're actually gonna go buy in like single issues in a long time, huh?
Yeah, instead of like the collection and everything.
Nice, dude.
I was just thinking right now, how are they gonna name the new turtles? And this is my canon, is like whoever they're in charge of taking care of these guys is, he finds like an old album, and like the old album is like New Edition, so it's like he
Nice.
names all the turtles after like four members of New Edition, and then when they start adding more turtles, they add like, another Bobby Brown or a Johnny Gill, because when Johnny Gill came into New Edition later. So it's like, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike.
I like it, dude. I thought you were gonna go for like Sean Wanye,
Well, I was gonna go with that too, but nobody ever says like, the members of Boys to Men's names.
Yeah, that's true.
But
You're
like
right. In the song.
the song really goes Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. So yeah, that's just
I
me.
like it. I like it. You know what, then I've unfortunately been out of the comic book circle for so long. I did not even know that they were coming up with a new series. So I'm gonna keep an eye out for that one. There's actually a couple of like exciting new like launches that came out recently. So I'm kind of I might find myself at the comic book store again. One more time. So hopefully they still have those that Ninja Turtle ones that you're talking about. What's the title though, if I may ask?
I honestly, on the top of my head, I don't remember.
Okay. No
Just
worries.
I just picked it. I literally went, "Hey, could I get the issue number one for the sequel of the last run?" And they were like, "Go for it." So I now have a box again, and I hate to tell them that it's just gonna be one thing so far.
It's a start.
It's a start, and it's a start that I don't want to start, to be honest with you, because man, they're expensive. Like in my head, it was going to be like $1.99.
Oh, wow, dude. Is this approved by the comic book code?
Dude, comic books now are the same price as graphic novels of when we were younger.
Yeah, that I literally
Yikes.
asked that question. It was like, is this a collection? It goes, "No, though, it's issue number one." I'm
It's a
like,
single book. Oh, dang.
"Oh, okay, cool. Thanks."
Yeah, I'm glad to know.
Yeah.
Inflation, huh? Thanks,
Yeah.
Biden.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Go for it, H.
Okay, so I literally, right before I left work today, as I was pooping, I was watching
As you
TikTok.
would. Okay.
And I saw something so disturbing, not my poop, but I saw something so disturbing.
Oh, bro, real quick. You know how at the end of our workout today, we did the hydro massage bed,
Yes. Did
and
you
I
poop
told
in the
you,
massage bed?
no,
Okay.
and I told you that
Oh, it's gurgling, gurgling.
it was gurgling and everything, bro. I think the massage bed just kind of like eked it out. It was pretty cool.
Dislodged everything.
Like, man, okay, good. This is it. Okay, sorry, go for it.
This is the talk everybody comes for.
Yeah.
Poop. It is poopery.
It is poopery. Tiny. It's true to form. So basically, I saw a teaser trailer for a movie I had no idea was coming out, and it angered me so much because it is a beloved movie of my childhood that is being remade as usual as things are. And I told my coworker, because she, according to her, we're roughly the same age, even though she's way older than me. But
Shout out
I,
to the coworker.
yeah, so I'm just kidding. But when I was trying to describe it, so this is the clues I gave her. It's a 90s movie, and the main actress in the movie was one of my favorite TV actresses from one of my favorite TV shows.
Wow, that is a
That
yeah.
narrows it down.
So
not at all.
hold on, and repeat the
Favorite
it's a
actress?
one of my favorite TV actresses, TV daughters.
So Christina Applegate.
Right, get
Christina
out of my head,
Applegate.
Dennis. Okay.
All right.
Chris, and the one movie she starred in the 90s was
She
Don't Tell
started.
Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, I'm like, not
Yeah, you're
Anchorman?
right.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
So they're making a new version of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, interesting.
And
Is Vincent D'Onofrio going to come back as Thor?
that was Adventures in
Oh,
Babysitting,
damn it.
bro. Vincent D'Onofrio wasn't in that
Wrong one,
movie.
my bad. It does have the babysitting part, though.
I was about to say, like, oh, I got a clever one for this one.
The guy
I
who
did
played
not.
the brother in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead was in Adventures in Babysitting as the friend. So somehow I've made a connection there. Yeah, so they're remaking this movie, and they've changed the family from being a white family to a black family, but the babysitter is still an old white lady. So yeah, and it's just a teaser trailer, and they literally pandered this trailer to fans of the original movie, because fans of the original movie have always repeated the same line over and over again, which was, "I'm right on top of that rose," because her boss would always tell her, if you see me struggling with something, just yell out, "I'm right on top of that rose." The person playing the boss in this movie is apparently Nicole Richie. So there's that. And in the teaser, she says she's about to say the line, and then they cut it right then, and it says, "Trailer coming soon." And as somebody who's on the bathroom taking a poop, watching this trailer, I wanted to tear down the toilet paper and then put it back in the incorrect direction, because it angered me so much. So mainly the thing I'm angry about is, why remake this movie? And did enough people like the original movie to be like, "Hey, we should remake this thing"?
You know what kids now want?
Yeah, murder. I think they're gonna murder the babysitter.
I mean, it's popular enough that it's on a podcast
True.
right
And it is popular enough that it's on the homepage of HBO Max for me every time I sign on. And that might just be me, because I've watched it on HBO Max at least three times.
now. No, it's I need to see your algorithms because, man.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, my HBO Max algorithm is my favorite one, because as we discussed before, it's Only the Strong, and then it's Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Spaceballs, Blazing Saddles. It's basically Mel Brooks and parody movies, and then apparently The Last of Us.
That's
No, no Game of Thrones, because
nothing in between.
yeah, there's no in betweens anything. It's just like movies that are extremely silly, or video games. So
I like
yeah,
it.
they're remaking this movie.
There
I'm not
you
happy about it, but I'll watch this before I watch Spaceman.
Speaking of which, before we move on, we do have a damn it, what is it called?
Sponsored segment.
A sponsored segment. Okay, so
Ooh.
we have a sponsored segment. So here we go for our sponsored segment. And for our sponsors, I truly wish we actually found somebody to sponsor us. So if you know any business, it could be like something really crappy, like a donut shop. Well, not actually. I'd love to be sponsored by a donut shop, to be honest with you. Like I don't know, a t-shirt shop, or what would be a crappy business that would. That would be willing to like promote us,
Sponsor us?
yeah, sponsor, like an independent
Hot chicken place.
Okay, true. No, but I was thinking more realistic for us, like an independent, like a PT person that's taking our money anyway.
This is an actual sponsorship, sort of.
Okay, but seriously, the reason why we're here is we're waiting for Lewis, and so we decided to do a little bit of a additional thing. And Lewis, if you actually listen to our episode, let's give him a prize. What prize can we give Lewis if he hears this?
Let's see. He will get 5 extra minutes of airtime.
Okay, cool. There you go. Okay,
Like the
so.
next, our next episode will solely be him talking for 5 minutes, us not joking about him talking for 5 minutes and letting him rant on whatever he wants. We can basically say, oh, this is your audition for your own podcast, which you're
There
trying to do anyways. So,
you go. There you go.
that's
Perfect.
harmless.
There you go, Lou. If you can actually like refer to this, then we'll give it to you. And this will be hilarious if he actually does not refer to me.
Yeah, that'd be the best part. If
And
he doesn't listen to it, he's like,
he goes, "Hey, that was a great episode, guys."
"Wait."
Yeah, that's my Lewis impersonation. Okay, so for our additional bonus topic over here, Harold and I, as you know, we are on a life changing journey right now, and we're at least Harold claims that we're trying to get healthy, but I just feel like Harold just trying to hurt me, and.
Hold on, before we move on. And people really need to know what happened today while we were working out on the cables is have you seen the movie Final Destination 3?
I've never watched any Final Destination.
Okay. So in Final Destination 3, there's a guy who's like lifting weights, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere the weights come crashing onto his head. And I had that nightmare flashing in my eyes when that cable almost strangled you. And I was like, oh my God. I was just like, it's a steel cable, it's gonna take him down, and this is how it happens.
Yeah,
And
I still think. I mean, I don't like the idea of working out, period. But I saw that like there's moments in my working out. I'm like, like when you tell me, okay, lie back as far as possible while holding on to these flimsy like straps.
the straps that almost took you down, it took me down, sorry.
Yeah. So
That's my mistake, my mistake.
while we were doing this, for some reason. Of all the things that popped in my head was I remember that Adam Sandler has a new movie that's coming gonna be coming out this Friday, called Spaceman. Of course, it being Adam Sandler, we started doing our impersonation, or at least our terrible impersonations, which, as I mentioned to Harold, it sounds like a mixture of Adam Sandler's Waterboy and Jar Jar Binks together. It's pretty good, and I'm trying to channel it right now because I think without the danger of weights falling on my face or getting decapitated, I think it's not as funny anymore. But Spaceman, dude, I knew about it, and I heard about it, but you and I just watched the Netflix trailer. Misa gonna die. And I did not know there was gonna be like a space crab. That was involved. I thought it was just like a drama of him. Like I thought it was gonna be like I in my head it was going to be what's the name of that Tom Hanks one? Castaway, where he.
Oh, okay.
In my head, that's what it was gonna be. I did not know that that Wilson was going to be a space crab that seems to be psychic and channeling his wife's memories and everything. What do you think, dude? Like. I know we were joking around. We were going, I'm a dude. I can't do the accent now. Now that I'm in front of
Now
everybody,
that there's pressure.
the
Oh,
accent
here's the thing.
is
Maybe you
Jupiter.
can't.
There you go. I'm going to the Jupiter and I'm gonna miss my wife. And yes, that is my Adam Sandler, ladies and gentlemen.
But I snorted.
Oh
Can
my
it
wife,
snow?
I'm on a 6-month journey, and I truly miss her, truly, truly.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's very jar jarring. Also, I'm thinking Maybe the fact that you're lightheaded when we're working out, you're like, your brain is clear and you're just like, I could just do any impression I want to do right now and just nail it.
But yes, it's the Jar Jar Water Boy. That has to be, somebody has to make that movie right there.
As someone has to make that movie poster for us, by the way. So here's the thing is, we were just joking about it just because basically, remember the old trope that even South Park made fun of back in the early 2000s where Rob Schneider would just play, a hot chick or a male gigolo or an animal, and it's just like Rob Schneider is a giant stapler, and now it was just like Adam Sandler is a spaceman. So in our canon, before even watching the thing, we're just like, the space. And as somebody who like it was a bad, right? It was a bad.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
I actually have been what like Adam Sandler. It's a funny topic because he was a guest on Conan O'Brien's podcast, and he literally called his own accent the Jibby Jibboo, and I was just like, what? And he's like, and even Conan was like, wait, what did you just call it? He goes, oh, I call it. And then, that's just the way he goes with it, because apparently Conan only knows Adam Sandler from when he was on Weekend Update. But like, because they were done,
Wait,
thirty.
he's never watched a movie?
He has, but he's just
Okay.
because that's where their friendship was born and bonded, was when they're in SNL together. So it's like the running joke is like, that's how he would talk for the longest time is, gibberish. And apparently that's how it was. So we're imagining he's just doing gibberish in space. And then out comes this crazy space drama. And as somebody who's been playing, like I mentioned before, this game, Helldivers, that thing looked like one of the things I attack in Helldivers. And I immediately wanted to throw orbital strike at that thing. It scared the crap out of me. I don't know. It's always tough seeing Sandler not being Sandler, or even a parody of himself, like in That's My Boy. That one was always rough for me because when just be Adam Sandler in that role, and that movie is so much better. But like when he tries to quote unquote not be himself, that thing's just it seems a little wonky sometimes. But I think you had mentioned before he has made some dramatic movies, and
Like Big Daddy, according to a certain website on the internet.
because okay, I would imagine if we're going with that as a dramatic movie, his best drama is Click,
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. That's
because
the one where his wife is Latina, right?
no, that's the other one. I'm blanking on that movie at the he doesn't have a Latina wife in that movie. He's married to Tia Leone and there's a maid. Is that the
Yeah, well, that not as okay. Maybe I'm not remembering that movie properly. Okay, never mind. I thought the maid was the wife. Okay.
Spanglish? Whoa. Yeah, if the maid was Jennifer Lopez, then she would be the wife, because those are the kind of movies that she stars in. But like at least in Click, the second half of that movie stops being funny and just becomes really sad and like very depressing. So I mean, he's always been able to pull off somewhat dramatic chops. I specifically remember your brother being one of the people that was like, hey dude, you need to watch Punch Drunk Love, because it's Adam Sandler not being Adam Sandler, and he's being like a different version, and he's actually acting. And when your brother says something about a comedic actor that we actually love, saying that he's playing a dramatic role and it's actually good, I was like, yeah, he might have a point to this. Watched it. I haven't watched it in probably 20 something years. I enjoyed it at the time when I watched it, and it was just, like I said, very jarring to see Adam Sandler not being Adam Sandler.
For some reason I was trying to think of like different like movies. For some reason I thought that Adam Sandler was in that kids movie Zoom. That
With
was
Tim Allen?
they're the same person, right?
Oh yeah.
Tim
But well,
Allen.
here's the thing is you love them both on the same level, so I don't know. if you're able to differentiate those guys.
Whoa! No. Tim Allen is a serious actor. Have you seen some of his stuff? Come on, that it's real acting. Even what's his name? Crap, I forgot his name. The famous British actor gave Tim Allen his props for Galaxy Quest. So, I consider Tim
Oh,
Allen.
Alan Rickman?
Yeah, I consider him a serious actor, bro. So don't even go that way.
They've done about the same amount of serious, dramatic roles, I want to say. But can you imagine Tim Allen being the spaceman, not named Buzz Lightyear?
You're right. But can you imagine Tim Allen being Zohan?
Damn.
See?
I can't imagine anybody being Zohan, to be honest with you. No one's gonna be able to pull off that role at
Hey,
all.
don't mess with Zohan.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just saying that now. I'm going to find if Zohan is streaming anywhere because I need to watch it once again, dude.
What was it streaming on before when we talked about this the last time? It was like on Peacock or something. Some random.
Some
Yeah.
random one, yeah. So, what do you think? Well, to be honest with you, now I actually want to watch it just because we talked about it, and I want to be able in a future episode to actually say whether or not it was worth the shot. But I mean, we've seen like you and I, you mentioned that you watch Uncut Gems, and that was kind of jarring as you talked about. I mean, there were some elements of it. That was still kind of Adam Sandler-ish to me, but this one, I mean, I know it's only the trailer, but it looks like he's really going for like this
Yeah.
serious like drama. So, can he pull it off? That's the question right there, dude.
I'm it's not so much for me, can he pull it off? It's how many people are interested in watching Adam Sandler not being Adam Sandler.
Oh, true. You're right. You're
You know what I
right.
mean? Like when you, like even though we joked about it, if you see a movie on Netflix and you're scrolling through and it says Adam Sandler in Spaceman, that's an automatic. Like, dude, even when you pulled it up, the first thing that came up was Space Force next to it. And that's because I was like, it's a full-on parody and it's gonna be like next to Spaceballs somewhere, and it's and you're seeing Adam Sandler in space, automatically your brain's gonna be like, it's a comedy. It's gonna disappoint a lot of people who are expecting, blended in space.
I'd watch that actually.
I would actually watch it. Like if I see Terry Crews as somewhat the guy signaling in everybody. Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about. But yeah. And so the thing is for me, in general, I haven't watched an original Netflix movie and I don't even know how long. Like when Netflix says this is an original movie, I haven't clicked on any of their original movies probably since the Mitchells versus the Machines, maybe?
That's true. I like that one.
Yeah.
The last one I remember clicking is the one with Ryan Reynolds, and what's his name?
The Rock?
No, not The Rock. Well, I clicked that one. That was a good one as well. But he plays like a time traveler, like spaceman guy type thing. I know it's.
So I see the pattern that Netflix is going with original movies. It's
Space.
Spaceman. But I know that Adam Sandler has an original movie Netflix deal. He's made those like murder mystery movies with Jennifer Aniston. Never
Which
seen any of them.
I dude,
Are
I
they
watched
good?
both of them. I they're actually pretty good. I recommend it.
It's hard. I mean, as much as I love Sandler, I'm not much of a fan of Jennifer Aniston outside of Friends. So, or Horrible Bosses, but maybe I'll give it a chance after watching Spaceman. Well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'd watch the murder mystery one before Adam Sandler. I mean, before Spaceman. So,
Okay, I thought of who can be our sponsor, bro.
who?
Remember when you went to a different continent with your family about 20 something years ago? Do you remember what you brought me back from that continent?
No.
You don't remember what you bought me from Australia?
No, it's been a long time, bro.
Okay, I remember because you
That
tried.
was pre-stroke, remember?
Call yourself out like that. Since edit, the first thing you brought me
Was
was,
PS, bro.
yeah, PS. Now we're PS. But like, you and your brother bought me a didgeridoo.
Oh, you're right.
So I'm saying you can have Adam Sandler's
How did you read you? Damn it, you're a genius. Okay, so anybody out there that has a didgeridoo company or is in Australia, hey, hit us up. We'll shill for anything and everything. Even a damn boomerang company, we'll do it. So let's throw it back to Lewis and the guys, and hopefully you enjoy this little side story that we have. Okay, that was good. Okay, cool.
What a great sponsor.
That was a great sponsor. Thank
Amazing.
you. Lewis, you are the one that came up with our topic for the day. Could you explain to the audience what we're going to be talking about?
I think actually Harold premised it with a great idea, but I think we were going to expound on it. Like, so the dunk contest just passed. A lot of people were feeling it was lacking. Harold brought up in the chat that there was a hypothetical dream slam dunk competition a few years ago that could have happened, that I'm gonna let him talk about it more, because I actually never heard about it until he brought it up. But I'd love to see what that was about. But that got my that got my brain going, thinking like, what other hypotheticals have there been out there in the world of pop that, yeah, we could talk about, like what if and what could have been or what should have been, and kind of talk about there. Like, let's put on our little creative hats on and see what could have been in the different corners of pop that we love. So H, again, we you started this conversation with a great hypothetical dunk competition from a few years ago. I'll let you get into that, because I honestly, like I said, this was the first time I heard about it from you. So yeah.
Yeah, so about 20 years ago now, Jesus
Oh
Christ, we are
Lord.
old.
God, dude.
Everybody had been complaining about like the dunk contest was great because Vince Carter and T-Mac had done the 2000 dunk contest, and they were like, "Oh, the dunk contest is back." And then every year after that, it was just Jason Richardson playing against nobodies. So they were proposing back then to try to entice like big named all stars to finally participate in the dunk contest so more people were interested in it. Because, when there's no names in the dunk contest, like much like there was this year with Jaylen Brown being the only exception and people only knowing Mac McClung because he won last year, but nobody had any idea who he was before that, people were like, there's no, the dunk contest has lost its luster. So they were saying, okay, Vince Carter won his year, and then Tracy McGrady got second. Oh no, he didn't. Yeah, he did. Tracy McGrady got second when Vince Carter got his. And who else could we have? We'd really want LeBron James. So they already had those three. And then they were like, who won the 1997 Slam Dunk Contest? And it was Kobe Bryant. And they were like, these are the four people, four of the biggest stars in the game currently. And we would like them to participate in a slam dunk contest. And they had proposed it. I don't think any of them were really interested at the time because at those times, everybody was vying for championships and none of them were really excited in getting into it. And people have heard, had just heard about it recently. And they were saying, those four guys robbed us of the greatest slam dunk contest of all time. And I'm like, well, I don't think anything that those four guys would have done would have been better than when Aaron Gordon, went up against Zach LaVine. That's still the greatest dunk contest of all time to me. But it's fun to think about like having all-star, all NBA first team caliber guys playing against each other in a slam dunk contest. And I'm sure Vince Carter would win though.
Yeah, it's that's a great like hypothesis. I like that idea of like bringing past champions into it. That's a great gimmick. I didn't not hear about this. I'm sorry, did remind me again who or where did you see this dude?
It was just all over the internet, like within the last couple of weeks, because they were saying
Wow.
like, they're like, yeah, it was great that whatever we had, and but it's boring. And then people right away were just saying, how come LeBron James never participated in a slam dunk contest? And and in my head, it's always been, well, he only knows how to do one dunk, and it's the breakaway,
Tomahawk.
cock behind his back,
Yeah, not quite a tomahawk. You're right.
Yeah, once in a while he gets to break out like reverse slams and alley-oops and stuff, but it's nothing that's spectacular in those minds. But everybody was like, they're just, there was like think pieces where they're saying, oh, is LeBron James's career, complete career, a waste because he never got to participate in a slam dunk contest? And I'm like, you mean the NBA's all-time leading scorer's career is a failure because he never got to participate in a slam dunk? Okay, so that's just,
Yeah.
how people talk. But yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. See, this is where we get like a little creative because I do wonder. Like, I was listening to a couple of podcasts and a few things over the last few weeks after the NBA All-Star weekend and how, again, congratulations to Mac McClung for winning, but it wasn't exactly star-studded or well-received kind of thing. And I do wonder, like, people are positing, like, if LeBron ever participated, would the dunk contest have a little bit more life? Like, obviously not now, not that he's 38 or however old he is, but like, yeah, 10, 15 years ago, would like the shine still be there? Would a name as big as his, even if you're right, like he only has like two or three dunks in his bag, as the kids say, would have kept the competition a little bit more alive? Interesting though, dude. I don't know who would have won. 2000, you said 10 years ago, which, God, dude, in my head, when you said 10 years ago, like,
Probably
oh,
20
2000.
years ago, bro.
No, I know. So I know exactly. But that's what killed me, because when you said 10 years ago, I said 2004. It's like, oh, no, God, it's 2014, was 10
Yeah,
years
dude.
ago. Oh,
Yeah.
Lord, man. I hate this, dude, because every time somebody says, oh, it was 30 years ago, I was like, oh, the 70s? Like, oh, no, 30 years was like the 90s. Oh, God, dude. Getting old sucks. Great hypothetical. I wonder what that would have happened. But yeah, anything else you guys want to add to this one, dudes?
Yo,
Well,
that's
okay.
my
So
answer.
speaking
Because
of
I'm
hypothetical.
still kind of I'm still trying to figure out the hypothetical that Lewis and I were Harold and I were talking about, completely different than that one. So I'll need to listen to at least one more before I can do it.
Okay, well, let me talk about one of the other ones. And again, we are a pop culture nerdy podcast. Let's talk about two of the biggest things that the three of us love. It's Will Smith and The Matrix. So again, hypothetical here that we wanted to talk about, or I wanted to bring up, was years ago, before Keanu was cast as the lead, John Anderson, or as we all know, Neo, Will
Thomas
Smith,
Anderson.
Tom, what?
Thomas Anderson.
Oh yeah, okay. Was it Thomas Anderson? Damn it, I don't know anymore. This is the kind of rumor that didn't come out until after the fact. Like back when The Matrix originally came out, I was still in high school. So if you're listening to us and you're younger than 20, you have to imagine like the internet didn't quite exist the way that we know it now. So I didn't know about the situation until much many years after the fact. So Will Smith was actually offered the role of Neo, but he declined. And instead took the job or took the role in Wild Wild West, which, in
Is a
Will
classic.
Smith's the classic Western Wild Wild West. In Will's filmography, not exactly the biggest blockbuster, but yeah, for fans, there's a special spot in our hearts for that. So yeah, dude, I wonder, again, let me ask you guys, how would those things be different? Both let's talk about like both the careers of Will Smith hypothetically and the Matrix as a franchise, because I mean, let's be honest, even though the first Matrix was probably the best movie out of the four, right? A sequel just came out like a few years ago. Like, how would have been the trajectory been different if we just changed that one casting?
I think that it would not have worked, and you know me, I love me some William H. Smith
William
over there.
Jason, whatever.
But I think, and this is gonna sound bad, but the fact that Keanu is not the strongest actor actually works for that character. The fact that he his character as Mr. Anderson was this like loser of a hacker that that didn't belong anywhere, and then when he becomes Neo, he's it's the same character. The fact that he's vanilla throughout the whole thing actually made the movie. But knowing Will Smith, he would have put a little bit more flavor to it. He would have had a little bit more personality, and I don't think it would have worked as well for me.
I like that. H, what about you, dude? What about the franchise? What do you think the Matrix would be as big as it is if it had Will?
Probably not, mainly because, like Dennis said, I think the Keanu Reeves is perfect casting for that role, and him being so aloof and him being willing to do the wire work and all the kind of action sequences, as much as I love Will Smith for what he does for in action movies and whatnot, this just doesn't fit him. It didn't it wouldn't have I don't think it would have hit as hard. It would have been because, as established as we think Keanu Reeves was at the time, his career wasn't the greatest. And Will Smith was doing all the big, Independence Day, Men in Black kind of stuff. So I think it would have taken away a lot more. The character of Morpheus was meant to interact with a person like Keanu Reeves. It wasn't meant to interact with somebody like Will Smith, who overpowers his character. Because you respect Morpheus as the leader and in charge of everything over there, because he has someone who's like a subordinate to him and is able to learn from him and is able to listen to him. And it's going to be hard for Will Smith to be like, he can't be Jaden Smith. He can't be the Karate Kid. No one's going to teach Will Smith to do anything. Will Smith is already going to know stuff. Like in, why am I playing? On Independence Day, he's an all, a know-it-all pilot. And in Men in Black, he's a know-it-all cop. And then he learns small things along the way, but he's not going to be a complete transformation the way a Neo ends up being. So for me, that's like half of the fun of the Matrix itself, is like Neo learning stuff. And Will Smith does not seem to be a student. He has to be the teacher.
I see
At a
what you
certain
mean.
point, you don't see Will Smith going, "I know Kung Fu." He already knows Kung Fu at that point, you know. It's like,
He's already beat up aliens. He punched an alien in the face. He doesn't need to know kung fu anymore.
it's like Vin Diesel losing, you know.
It's just not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
It's in his contract that he has to be superior to everybody.
Jeez,
And I'm
dude.
talking about Will Smith.
Is it really?
Oh,
Yeah,
no, I'm just saying. I'm
or else he's gonna
thinking
punch
Vin
him in
Diesel.
the face.
Exactly.
I thought that was a Dwayne Johnson.
No, The
Thing,
Rock's
but
allowed to lose.
oh, okay. You can job every so often.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the best example you guys kind of both brought up. Like, I can't imagine him, Will Smith. I mean, having the same kind of rapport or relationship that he had with like Tommy Lee and him worked so well in Men in Black. Like, I don't think he could have worked the same way with Morpheus in these movies. And I think that's half the dance. Even though, yeah, I love Trinity and his and her relationship with Neo. But I think, yeah, obviously the crux for the first movie is like Morpheus and Neo, like how they interact and how they got along. So yeah, I don't think it would have worked the same. So yeah, I think it would have been a maybe. It was a good thing that it didn't work out. Again, it's one of those great hypotheticals that could have been, would have been, but maybe it's best for everybody. It didn't. So yeah, that's my contribution. What about you guys? You said you had something else you wanted to
I'm
talk
gonna
about?
throw one out, and because we're all hip and everything, and we talk about the most current iterations and everything. I'm gonna go in from the 1970s over here.
Wow, okay.
To this day, when you hear the phrase, the greatest martial artist, yeah, we have especially. With wire work and everything, we have names like Jet Li and all these things, but there's always going to be that one person. The best martial artist and movie actor is always going to be Bruce Lee. And you know, in 1973, when he when Enter the Dragon was going to be releasing, you know, it was the talk of the town was that it was his vehicle to become the next big Hollywood star. But of course, we all know that Bruce Lee passed away. But his legend, no pun intended, has continued over the years, that even today, people still know who Bruce Lee is, you know. So my hypothetical is, what do you think would have happened if Bruce Lee, considering Enter the Dragon, you know, and how what we, you know, I still watch it fondly. What would have happened if Bruce Lee didn't pass away? Would he have become a big star that everybody talks of, or would he have just, you know, fallen to the side? So that's my hypothetical for you guys.
That's a great question, dude. That's actually, yeah. Wow. I don't know, dude. Like, so the thing about actors or celebrities or icons dying young is, I think, unfortunately, yeah, that is part of the allure of it, is the fact that, you know, everybody waxes poetic that they were taken too soon or they could have had a great future. But then again, yeah, dude, like you see, again, nothing against the our legends now, like Jackie Chan or Cynthia Rothrock or any of the other 80s or earlier icons. But you know, now they're kind of like not in the wayside, but you either have to wait for their career to shift or do something different. But I don't know. But Bruce was like the first of his kind, so maybe there is a special echelon for like him. That's just him. Like the I don't know. Like I know it's apples to oranges, but kind of like the same way that, you know, we still look up to Kareem and a lot of those folks back in the 70s as being iconic. And even, I mean, even I can't remember people's names right now, but yeah, great hypothetical. I think he'll still be a legend. I think he'd still be a legend. I just don't know how much of it he would be if he lived to a riper or older age than I'm sorry, then you probably know better than I. How old was he when he passed?
He was only in his 30s then.
Oh, dude, that's crazy. That's crazy. So we've all outlived Bruce Lee in the sense. That's okay. That's nuts. It's kind of surreal to think about it that way. But all right, I don't know, man. H.
Yeah, it's tough to say because everybody always says like he was just starting his career, and when you think about it, at the time he was the only martial arts action star. So, would every movie that was going to be a martial arts action movie have to star Bruce Lee? And was Bruce Lee going to be willing to play in all of those martial? Was he going to be like typecast as just a martial artist, or is he going to eventually learn to be a regular Hollywood actor? Like Jet Li, for the most part, has stuck to his guns. Same thing with Donnie Yen. Once in a while, they go out and have like dramatic roles in their movies, but they're still playing an action star movie. They're playing martial artists in all their movies. Like Jackie Chan will always have martial arts in his movies, and it may, you know, differ differently in that it's either a serious martial arts movie or a comedic action movie.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee was not playing a comedic action star. Let's put that to rest. He was never going to be Jackie Chan. He was never going to take Jackie Chan's career, the completely different careers, completely different people in the way he acted and everything. But would he be like, would he have the Chuck Norris career? You know, playing Delta Force, you know, showing up in the Expendables?
Oh my gosh, you're right. Okay.
Would there be no Steven Seagal or Jean-Claude Van Damme because those roles were now taken over by Bruce Lee?
Oh, blasphemy! You can get rid of Seagal, but no, Van Damme has to
Yeah,
stay.
because I was gonna say, because Bruce Lee can do the splits, but can he do a split roundhouse the way Van Damme can? I don't think so.
The real questions,
Yeah,
man. Can Bruce Lee
you
dance like Van Damme? Come on, in the
yeah. I
kitchen. Come
mean,
on, man.
I've seen yeah, Van Damme dancing is, yeah,
Yeah.
it's burned into my brain. But like, you know, does he take over those? I think unless the action movies that they had planned for him were going to be bigger scope, bigger budget, and he probably would have just had a regular action star's career. It wouldn't have gone into a dramatic thing. His last movie, that came out was Game of Death. And Game of Death is a great movie. I will watch that movie, once every 10 years because it's fantastic. The fight scenes still hold up, 40 years later. Damn it, 50 years later. But like, sheesh. But
I hate this
yeah.
exercise.
But it was that going to be the cap on his career in terms of like, Game of Death was basically Enter the Dragon with different towers, it's going to be like that. Like all his movies were pretty much the same thing, but they were enjoyable versions of the same thing. And then, Enter the Dragon is like the originator of Bloodsport and the Quest, or it's like a tournament style thing. But yeah, I really think he doesn't get past being an action star.
I think here's my next question, because I think you kind of alluded to it, age, but like I wonder if if he, if he didn't pass in the 70s, again, I'm not a film historian, but like I feel like martial arts movies or kung fu movies, at least, they kind of hit an awesome like peak in the 80s, almost a decade after he passed. So I wonder if he was still around, like would it have, would martial arts movies or kung fu movies like picked up sooner? Like would they be a thing, with the blaxploitation movies of the 70s and all that kind of stuff? Like would that have been a thing much sooner? Or and another hypothetical, like I'm not sure if they're exactly the same age, but in a different world, maybe Bruce has like the Sylvester Stallone career. Like, yes, obviously he's an action guy, everybody knows him as is, but Sylvester Stallone still has an Oscar under his belt. Like, what if Bruce had that under, like, what if he had that in his bag? Like, he had a great story to tell that had heart that turns into like an Oscar-worthy performance or an Oscar-worthy movie. That's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe if he stuck around, he could have guided the industry, or at least, fight movies and that kind of thing a lot sooner. And it wouldn't have to wait for a young Jackie Chan to blow up, or Jean-Claude Van Damme, or all those other 80s classics before it becomes a household name and everybody's doing kung fu in their living room, and it blows up in every corner, strip mall kind of thing. So again, I feel like maybe if he was alive, it would have peaked. It would have stuck around much quicker, and maybe we'd be in a different kind of renaissance of martial arts movies in the 70s instead of the 80s.
Bringing it back somewhat full circle, would they have cast Bruce Lee as Mr. Miyagi?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And it would have been the Kung Fu Kid instead of the Karate Kid.
That's a good one. Yeah.
No.
Like he would have
No.
been the would he would
Don't
he be okay with the
change
mentor
that.
role?
No. Don't throw it out there in the universe, because now they're somewhere in the multiverse.
There's
Somewhere in
an
the
old
multiverse,
Bruce Lee.
Miyagi or Pat Morita did not have a job.
Oh, he would have just been the diner guy from
Happy Days,
Happy Days. Yeah.
starring alongside Jay Leno in comedies. Yeah,
H.
that's
That's a
brilliant, bro.
great thought, though, Ben.
Yeah, I was telling Dennis my idea, and it's more modern day, and it really
Oh, thank
affects.
God.
And my thing is, what if, and this is a random person that I just thought of, and probably because I just saw him on YouTube videos before we worked out today, is what if they had not casted Chris Pratt in Guardians of the Galaxy? And they had gone instead with their original person, who was supposed to be Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I'm thinking of this mainly because Chris Pratt was a central character in Guardians, but it also leads to, hey, we can create this whole new Jurassic Park franchise because we have this new action star that apparently people are digging because he's the perfect mix of somewhat good looking and kind of funny. And as somebody who was a big fan of his in Parks and Rec, I remember when they said, oh, he's been casted in a Marvel movie, I was like, oh, he's got to be playing the fat guy role. Or like something funny, but no, the dude like buffed out just so he can play the thing, and now his career has whatever it is at the moment. But for me, it's like this starts to like a chain reaction of how many other people get to do different things just because Chris Pratt didn't get to be a Star Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy?
So are we looking at this in terms of Chris Pratt's career? Are we talking about the franchise of Guardians of the Galaxy or what
I'm
here?
thinking Chris, all three of them, Chris Pratt's career, does the Jurassic World franchise ever move on or continue? And would Guardians ever be as good as it was if anybody else was playing him?
Okay.
That's a good question, because
One.
Guardians is a, I don't know if I want to call it a fluke, but that was just a perfect storm, dude. Because like, nothing against James Gunn, but I think at the time he only had what, he had like a couple of
Slither.
movies. Yeah, Slither, that B horror movie, which was fun, but not exactly like a household name. And who else was in that movie that was known? I'm trying to recall who was in it. That's it. So it was a perfect storm of just like everything hit just right. So nothing against Glenn Howerton. I've only watched a few episodes of Always Sunny, but I don't think it would have worked, dude. And like it at worst, this this could have been an early Eternals. Like as fun and as good as the Eternals was, something about it just didn't land with audiences. That's why nobody's going out of their way to rewatch Eternals. Eternals isn't playing all the time on TNT in the afternoon because nobody wants to watch it. So yeah, dude, I don't think it would have worked for anybody's career. I think Chris Pratt would have still probably found a career elsewhere. He is a handsome and charismatic dude. Not sure if he's having the same career he has now that he's practically a household name, but yeah, I don't think it would have worked for anybody, unfortunately. I'm trying to think of like what Pratt's career would have been if he did not take this job.
Yeah, a dude would have not lost that much weight and become the hunky guy that he is now
Yeah.
without,
Or he would have lost all that weight, not gotten the role, and be like, it was all for nothing.
yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. I'm like it, literally I had to try to remember what Howerton looked like. And and I put up his picture. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Even if he buffed up, because I one of the things that as somebody who did not watch Parks and Recs and was not familiar with who Chris Pratt was, even before the movie came out, one of the things that I knew about Chris Pratt was that he lost weight and that he looks good now. That was actually part of the conversation, and I think that might have been an appeal for some, who knows, but I don't think that would have been the same for it. Do I think that the Jurassic Park franchise could have turned out the same way? I've watched a little bit more. I think I watched more It's Always Sunny than you, Lou. But maybe it's the character, but I don't think that even if you take him and put him in the Star Lord position and character, I don't think it would have translated well. And so I don't think that it would have continued on and produced like all the sequels that they have. At least, again, that's what hypotheticals are. At least for me, I don't think it would have worked that way.
Yeah.
H?
Yeah, I think for me, at least with the Jurassic World thing, it's like that role seems specifically made for that guy.
No.
And nobody notices that guy if he doesn't play Star Lord. And as somebody who actually had seen some of the stuff he'd done before doing Guardians while he was in Parks and Rec, he played the schlubby guy in every movie he was in.
Yeah.
He was a sidekick schlubby guy. He got his face hit by a keyboard in Wanted, and that's pretty much what most people
That's
knew of.
right. He was in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all people know about Chris Pratt before Parks and Rec and before getting Star-Lord. So it's like good for him. He was able to skyrocket his career based on getting that role. But there's like a whole domino effect of what happens to everybody else if that doesn't succeed. Like, if he's not in that role, does Batista play off him or any other character well? Would Zoe Saldana play off any other actor besides him that well? And it's like, as you know, the third one that just came out last year, it was one of the better sequels that the MCU has ever made. Would anybody have felt the way they felt about that movie if you don't have Bradley Cooper doing his thing, but also if you don't have Chris Pratt being the second emotional character center in that movie? So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Lou, I think that's a great idea. I think this is something that we should look back at and explore some more, because I think definitely especially if we can come up with the more current ones, a lot of audience might be really interested in it. But at least for now, I think let's end it here. A great episode so far. I really do like the choices that we made. And if you like the episode, you can take a look at all of our older episodes. You can take a look at the two fanboys, onecasual.podbean.com for all the other content. And Lou?
On Facebook, you can find us. Just type in two fanboys and a filthy casual on your search bar at our main page, along with our very active group page with a bunch of like-minded fanboys, fangirls, gamers, geeks, and dorks, and readers, and all the other folks that love pop culture like you do.
And then on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, we are Two Fanboys, One Casual. As usual, anywhere you find your favorite podcast, we are there as well. And catch me playing some random game, probably Helldivers, on twitch.tv/casualfanboygaming.
For democracy.
For democracy.
That's it for us today. Thanks for listening. This is Two Fanboys of the Filthy Casual. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
And this is Harold. And thanks to our sponsor again.
Peace.